Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word into our hearts this morning. We love your word. We esteem your word highly, even more than our necessary food. Because we know that your word is exalted above all. Everything is subject to your word. For by your word you created all things, Bible says, both visible and invisible, including thrones and dominions. All were created by your word. And so, we thank you that what we are about to share this morning has the power to bring into our lives all the plans and the purpose that you have for us for such a time as this. And we humble ourselves to say, speak, Lord, for thy servants hear thee. Thank you, Lord, for ears to hear and hearts to obey your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. A few weeks ago, we began to look at a subject that we titled Three Deeds of Faith for Daily Victorious Living. In other words, three actions of faith that you and I can walk in every single day of our lives, not just occasionally when we feel like it, but all the time, because faith is something we do all the time. The just shall live by faith. And these three key things, as Bible teaches us, if we do them consistently and constantly, God has guaranteed that we will always have victory at all times. Well, we all want that, don't we? I'm yet to see someone that will say, I don't want victory. We all want victory all the time. None of us wants to be defeated in any area of life. We all want to win and gain victory over the enemy and over circumstances that are contrary to us in life. And God's plan is for us to be such a people that have testimonies of victory at all times. And so he has given us the keys of the kingdom of heaven that will give us victory here on earth, because there is no defeat in heaven, you see. Heaven is a victorious place. Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter 12 that when the devil, after he rebelled against God, when he made war against Archangel Michael, Bible teaches us that the devil could not prevail. So he was defeated and cast out of heaven. So there is victory in heaven. Hallelujah. And that's where you and I belong. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 20, Bible says our lives are in heaven. That's where we belong. That's our home. We are ambassadors in this world. See, an ambassador is somebody who is living in a foreign land in order to represent his home country there. This world is not our home. So as Christians, we don't live as though this world were our home. No, we are sojourners here, Bible says. We are just passing through this world. Our home is in the heavens. Glory be to God. I don't know about you, that gladdens my heart every day. Because when you look around this world, there is nothing to cheer you up except God. Hallelujah. Thank God he is with us in this world. We are not of the world. We are of God. God is with us. Hallelujah. So we need to understand how to walk in the steps of faith that God has prepared for us for our victory. There's no other way for us to gain victory in this world as Christians apart from faith. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says very clearly that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is, you see, this is it, the only thing, not one of the things. This is the specific thing that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want you to say to yourself, my faith has the capacity to overcome this world, including the God of this world, the devil, and all his evil works. Amen. Hallelujah. So Christians are victorious people. But for us to walk in the victory and experience the victory, we have to walk in obedience to the word of God. There's no other way. If we disobey the word of God, we forfeit our victory, because we play into the hands of the devil, who is the spirit of disobedience. That's why we need to understand clearly what the Bible says and choose to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so let's turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We looked at part 1 of this message a few weeks ago. And today we are going to look at part 2 of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 16. Rejoice evermore. That's the first deed of faith that guarantees you victory every day in every situation. We shared so much about that the last time, so please revise your notes. Every time you choose to rejoice, even in the midst of trials, like Bible says, count it all joy, my brethren. Every time you choose to do that, you bring the presence of God into the situation. Because Bible says God is enthroned upon the praises of his people. Psalm 22 verse 3. And you know when God's presence comes, surely the devil will flee. So you have the victory. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. The presence of God went into the lion's den with him. The lions couldn't eat him up. If you think that it was easy for somebody to be thrown into the lion's den and then have a good night's sleep, you are joking. Daniel had a good night's sleep. The king who threw him in could not sleep through the night. The king was the one that had sleepless night. Daniel had a good sleep. The king was in the palace and couldn't sleep. And Daniel was in the lion's den and had a good sleep. Because where the presence of God is, you always have peace. And the devil can't touch you, you see. Not even one strand of the hair on your head falls to the ground without the knowledge of God. If you obey God, God will keep you, even keep every strand of hair on your head. That's how faithful he is. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. And that fire wasn't a joke, because Bible teaches us that those who were making the fire were consumed. They were outside the fire, just making it, but the heat was so much, they were consumed. But these three Hebrew children that were thrown in the fire, their body didn't even smell of smoke, Bible says. Because God's presence went there with them. That's victory. That's victory. Why? Because they chose to walk by faith. They chose to live by the word of God. They said, King, forget it. We won't even answer you in this matter. To bow down to your image? Forget it. We are ready to die. Even if God doesn't save us, the God we serve, the God of truth, if he doesn't, we are ready to go home. Because they knew that to die here is to go to God. Because they honored God, God went in there with them. The devil couldn't touch them. Hallelujah. And the same truth applies to you and me today. In every situation, if we obey the word of God, the devil's plans will fail. At the end of the day, we will be the ones having the victory. The devil will try to change the law of the land. Failed. And the king changed the law now to glorify God. Just because of the faithfulness of Daniel and those other three Hebrew children. Our God is awesome, as we sang this morning. So today we are going to look at the second deed of faith, which is in verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without season. In other words, don't just pray and then give up. Don't just pray and stop after a while. Don't just start and then quit. After some time, pray and don't stop praying for how long? Until you gain the victory. We shall see that very clearly in scripture this morning. And we shall see examples. Those who did it wrong. Those who did something that God told them to do, and then they decided to stop before the victorious end. They grieved God. God was not pleased with them. Because our God is a victorious God. God is not somebody that loses any battle. And he doesn't want any of us as his children to develop the mentality of losers. We are winners. We have to have the winning mentality. And that winning mentality comes from the word of God that we choose to live by. Just as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They chose to live by the word. And they won. The only thing that defeats the devil every time is the word of God. That's why Jesus defeated him by saying, it is written for the first temptation, it is written for the second temptation, it is written for the third temptation. And Bible says the devil left him for a season. Because the devil is subject to the word of God that created him. We have to understand that. Bible says the devils believe and they tremble. So we have to pray without ceasing. Please get your pen and paper ready. I'm going to give you some points and then we'll quickly look at those scriptures and explain them. But first and foremost, we understand what verse 17 means. To pray without ceasing simply means to pray consistently and continually without stopping. And that doesn't mean you just lock yourself in the room 24 hours a day. Because you can pray for 24 hours a day, then get tired and fall asleep. Then you have stopped, haven't you? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about starting to pray about something and continuing to pray about it every day, every moment you remember that thing until you win. You see, the Holy Spirit will bring into your remembrance. You may in the morning start to pray about something and then you go off to work. Maybe in the lunch hour, the Holy Spirit reminds you of what you started praying about just for another 5 minutes. Lift your voice to God and thank Him and praise Him for hearing your prayers. Glory to you, O God. What I began to talk to you about in the morning, I'm still standing before you in faith and believing you, O God, for the victory in the name of Jesus. And then maybe in the evening, while you are at your dinner table, the thought comes to your mind again. See, the Holy Spirit will always prompt you. Don't get religious about prayer and lock yourself in the room and say, well, I will pray all through the night. Well, when you fall asleep like Peter, James, and John, Jesus said, tarry here and watch with me. Bible says their eyes were heavy with sleep. They just, and Jesus comes to them. Couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray. Lest you fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So that's not what Jesus is talking about, because no matter how strong you are going to fall asleep physically. So don't get religious. Understand the way of the spirit, because as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Sometimes the prompting may not last more than 2 minutes. Just flow with the spirit. That's what prayer is all about. Because you are continuing in the prayer. You may have to do that for weeks or for months or even for years. But as long as you don't stop praying, as long as you keep flowing with the spirit of prayer in you, the Holy Spirit will prompt you unto prayer, because He can see things in the realm of the spirit that you don't see. And when the Holy Spirit prompts you, just flow with Him. That's the advantage we have as Christians. You may even be at work and the Holy Spirit prompts you and you can go into prayer without anybody knowing that you are praying. You are still doing what you are doing in the physical, but in the spirit, you are hooked up with the Holy Spirit. Praying in other tongues. or sometimes just making melody in your heart to the Lord, as Bible says, spirit to spirit communication. Religion taught us that the only time you can pray is when you have time to kneel down, close your hands, and, you know, that's religion. That's not the way of the Spirit. You can pray at any moment of the day, because you can pray in the Spirit while you are doing the other things in the physical. Prayer is spiritual. All right. Please write this down. Or better still, as we looked last week, let's turn also to Romans chapter 12. Because we looked at that scripture the last time also, Romans 12, verse 12. And then you can write down what we need to write down. We explain what God wants us to understand. And just flow with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Let's read together. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Please underline down your Bible. Continuing instant in prayer. Hallelujah. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. Just continue. Instant in the prayer until you get the answer in physical manifestation, or at least you get the note of victory in your spirit. Sometimes you don't see the physical manifestation yet, but you have the witness of the Holy Spirit telling you it's a done deal now. Now just begin to praise God for it. Just begin to thank God for the answer. Hallelujah. So you change your prayer from petition to thanksgiving and just keep thanking God until you see it come to pass in the physical. The key is not to stop praying until you get the answer from God. Hallelujah. It is important. We are to continue instant in prayer. But again, as we said the last time, the first thing is to rejoice, because the atmosphere of joy creates the right atmosphere for the presence of God to help you. Many of us find it hard to pray because we are not creating the atmosphere of joy that the Holy Spirit needs to help us. He's the intercessor. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy, the Bible says. That's why we shared at length about rejoicing evermore the last time. Because as Christians, we rejoice in hope of salvation. We know that there is victory for us in every situation. All right, please write this down so that I can go back home and meditate on what we are sharing, however we are able to go this morning, however far we are able to go, you can have the substance to take home and meditate in. Christians, or better stage, let's say as Christians, because we are all Christians here this morning. As Christians, we pray without ceasing because we know, number one, We know this truth. That's why we can pray without ceasing. And if we don't know this truth, we won't be able to pray without ceasing. Number one, we know that our Father in heaven, that's God, who is our Father in heaven, as Bible says, hears us and answers us in awesome ways. Praise God. That's why I love the song we sang this morning. The worship leader was moving in the spirit when she sang that song. Awesome God. Hallelujah. See, the spirit is one. It can lead two, three people in the same way and just blend everything together. And you know, this is the spirit doing it. Hallelujah. So, one of the reasons why we pray without ceasing as Christians is because of this knowledge, this understanding that our Father who is in heaven, that God Almighty, the maker of all things, hears our prayers and answers our prayers in awesome ways. Our God is awesome. And he does awesome things in righteousness, Bible says. In front of that place, write these two scriptures, Psalm 65, verses 2 and 5, and Psalm 34, verses 15 and 17. And let's quickly turn to those two scriptures. First, we go to Psalm 65. If we know that God hears and answers our prayer, we'll be able to stand in the place of prayer without giving up. Because we know we are not wasting our time. God is hearing and God is answering. Therefore, we are bound to receive help from God because he is listening to us. Verse 2 says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. So God is a prayer hearing God. Verse 5, by terrible things, the word terrible there literally means awesome. By awesome things in righteousness will thou answer us. So we see God as a God that answers prayer. Verse 2 tells us he hears prayers. Verse 5 tells us he answers prayers and he answers them in awesome ways. Let's turn to Psalm 34. Thank God for his faithfulness. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open. Hallelujah. Unto their cry. Are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Yes, then God's eyes are on you. He sees you and he sees the trouble that you are in. And his ears are inclined to you to hear your prayer, your cry to him for help. And if you cry to him for help, as Bible says, you see, many of us when we are in trouble, we don't pray. We try to figure out a way, leaning on our human understanding, and then we get frustrated. If God doesn't help us, who is going to help us? We can't help ourselves, you see. Jesus said, apart from him, we can do nothing, so we have to pray. Bible says in James chapter 4, we do not have because we do not ask. See, you have to ask in order to receive. So ask for help because God's eyes are upon you. He can see you right where you are, but his ears are inclined to hear your cry for help. Verse 17, the righteous cry. See, the righteous have to pray. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. You see, that's why we pray without ceasing. Because we know that God will deliver us out of our troubles. He is hearing our prayer. He is looking upon us in our situation to get us out of the circumstances that are not in agreement with his will for our lives. But we have to pray. We have to pray. We have to pray. All right. Please write this also. Number two reason why as Christians we ought to pray without ceasing is because we know that our prayers make tremendous power of God available. We know that our prayers make tremendous power of God available. In other words, when we pray, there is a release of the power of God in answer to our prayers. We have to understand that. We are not wasting our time. Prayer is like going to the spiritual gym to generate the spiritual muscles of God that you need to help you overcome, because your own muscles are weak, you see. You can't lift the weight. It's too heavy for you. Then you go to the gym in the spirit and God puts his arm upon your hand and suddenly your muscles bulge with the strength of God and you are like Samson and you knock the problem down with just one fist, because that's the power of God. Hallelujah. So we know as Christians that our prayers make tremendous power of God available. In front of that statement, Please write James chapter 5, verse 16, and we are going to continue the statement. That's exactly what the Bible says there in King James Version. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But then if you read it in the Amplified Version, it says the honest, that is the heartfelt, continued. That's what it means to be honest in prayer. It must flow from your heart and be continued. Don't start and stop. Pray without ceasing. So the honest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. That power is not for fun. That power is there to work for you and get the job done. Hallelujah. So when you pray, you are generating the power of God to help you. And then please continue the statement by saying, to give us victory. See, that's what the power comes to do. To give us victory, if there's a condition. If you want the victory, then you have to fulfill this condition. If we don't give up. That's why it says pray without ceasing. Pray without giving up. Pray without throwing in the towel. By saying, well, I've been praying for a week now. The situation is still looking the same. Well, the devil is deceiving you. You are not supposed to be looking at the situation. If you are praying truly, you should be looking to God. Because prayer is directed to God, not to the situation. Hallelujah. We walk by faith and not by sight. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, not looking to the storms or the trouble. Peter looked to Jesus, he walked on the water. Then he looked to the storm, he sank. We focus on God. Hallelujah. If we don't give up, in front of that last bit of the statement, please write these two scriptures. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. And 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 14 to 19. Let's quickly turn to those scriptures and we will see clearly why it is important not to give up. I mean, Jesus is our rabbi, the head of the church. He gives instruction to his body and we must obey the voice of the good shepherd, Bible says. Don't let us think that we know better than Jesus. Or we can do it any other way apart from how God said we should do it in his word. If you want victory, you want God's help, obey his word. Don't rely on your human understanding. Don't even listen to what other so-called Christians are saying. Because I tell you, when you are in trouble, you'll find all kinds of Christians come around you. And many of them will mislead you. That's why you have to know the word of God for yourself. Some of them, we say, well, you know, I've been a Christian longer than you. I've read the Bible from cover to cover. Just like the old prophet. That the foolish young prophet listened to. And was killed by a lion. Instead of him listening to God. This thing is not by experience. It's by the Holy Spirit. When it comes to the things of God, forget about experience. We are led by the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit always leads us in agreement with the Word of God. Not in agreement with any human being. I don't care how spiritual, in quote, you think that person is. If they come to you without the Word, forget it. Paul said, even if we as apostles preach anything other than what is already written, let us be accursed. If an angel comes from heaven and preaches any other gospel than that which is already here, let him be accursed. It can't be from God. That's the spirit of error. And many of them are innocent. Many of these Christians are innocent. They are well-meaning. They want to help you. But because they are ignorant. See, my people perish because of ignorance. Because they are ignorant, they will give you wrong advice. Because they are leaning on their own human understanding, or leaning on their tradition, or leaning on their so-called experience in this world. No, you don't lean on your experience. You don't lean on tradition. You don't lean on your human wisdom. You lean on the word of God, the wisdom of God. So when people give you counsel, they give you advice, better check with the word of God. Don't run with the advice and say, well, this person, this bro is a holy bro. And he has been a Christian long before me. He's an elder in my church. Well, elders can miss it. The only way you can't miss it as a Christian is by following the word. Don't rely on anything else apart from the word. Even Peter, who loved Jesus, missed it many times, didn't he? Remember, Jesus had to rebuke the Satan when Peter spoke to him, because Peter didn't know the devil was using him. He was well-meaning. He was trying to help his master. He said, how can you go? Go where? Jerusalem? They are waiting to kill you. God forbid, not you. I bind the devil that is trying to kill my master. That's my paraphrase. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter must have been surprised. Satan? Where is the Satan now? I'm just advising him not to go to where they want to kill him. See, he did not understand the plan of God. See what we are talking about? Ignorance is the problem. We need to have clear understanding of spiritual truth to offer the right advice to people. Just give them the word of God. Don't give them your opinion. And if you don't know what the word of God says about something, be honest to tell the person that comes to you for advice and say, well, I don't know what the word of God says about this. I'm going to study regarding it. Perhaps we should talk about it some other time, because I don't want to give you my opinion. I want to make sure I'm giving you what the word of God says, because it is God that has the right answer to every problem of life. Let's be honest. And God will be honored by us saying that. And he will give us the word to help the person later, because we have honored him to acknowledge that only him can guide people in the truth. That's what we should do as Christians. Luke chapter 18, we know the account very well, but let's turn there again quickly and just see it with our eyes. The word of God must be as a frontlet, Bible says, between our eyes, and then we hide it in the midst of our heart, and we also keep it in our mouth and talk about it all day long. That's the one thing that we need to gain victory at all times. Verse 1, Luke chapter 18, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, men ought always to pray and not to give up. Don't give up because it's taking long. Don't give up because it seems nothing is changing. The devil is a tactician. Very cunning. He will shift your eyes away from God and make you look at the problem that you have been praying about. And sometimes the problem will actually get worse when you start praying about it. It's like, well, before I started praying, it was manageable. Since I started praying about this thing, it's even worse. That's the trick of the devil, just to get you to stop. Because he knows how the power of God is going to be generated through your prayer. So he's trying to do everything possible to stop you before you hit the mark in the spirit and get God's help. We are not ignorant of the devil's devices. That's why we have to know the truth as Christians in order to pray without giving up. If you don't want to give up, you have to know what we are sharing this morning. Because the devil is going to work hard on every one of us to try to get us to give up. And say throwing the towel is not working. But when we know the truth makes us free. Because the devil is a liar and a deceiver. Hallelujah. So we know the account of this parable, so we won't waste time there. You can go back home and study it and see how Jesus tells us summarily in verse 7 that God will surely avenge his own elect who cry unto him day and night, even though he bears long with them. Verses 7 and 8. So you meditate on those two verses. That's Jesus assuring us that as the elect of God, God will answer our prayers. If we persist or persevere, crying to him day and night, even though it seems to be taking long, we don't give up. We just keep going, we keep going, like the widow woman kept going until she got what she wanted. You keep going to God in prayer until you get the victory. Now let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 13. Whether we look in the Old or the New Testament, we find a God that is consistent. A God that never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some people think the God of Old Testament is different from the God of New Testament. Well, my God doesn't change. Actually, the Old Testament is in the New Testament. If you study the New Testament, you'll find that the apostles, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they made reference to the Old Testament so much. Even Apostle Paul, who didn't walk with Jesus, the Holy Spirit led him all the time to the Old Testament to get wisdom to answer questions in the New. Because it is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The revelation of what people didn't understand under the old is in the new. We can understand it better now. Now look at 2 Kings chapter 13. Hallelujah. From verse 14. Now Elisha was falling sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face. You see, this is a wise king. Very wise king. And he said, well, I'm the king. I have the chariots. I have the army. Well, if the prophet dies, well, we just go into the battle. We mobilize the army and get the victory. That king was wise. He knew that God was the only one that could help them. And this is the prophet of God about to die. This is going to be a risky business. Because if the prophet of God dies, how are we going to get the help of God? He's the one that brings us the word of God. So he went to him and wept over him. Oh, Elisha, anointed man of God. That's my paraphrase. Oh God, you are about to go? No, okay, if you are going now, if God's time is right for you to go, before you go, help us. Give us help so that we can walk in victory after you have gone. That's my paraphrase. Well, the Holy Spirit obviously moved Elisha to tell him what to do. Hallelujah. Verse 15. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. He obeyed the voice of God. Let's put it that way. Verse 16. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hand. Hallelujah. In other words, the king is not going to get victory by his own strength. It's going to be by the strength of God. Just like Bible teaches us under the New Testament. Even Jesus said, apart from me, we can't do anything. So Elisha put his own hands upon the hand of the king, representing the hand of God upon the hand of the king to help him in battle. But just like you and I many times miss it, that king eventually missed it. He eventually missed it. He was doing well up to this point. But he failed at the crucial moment. We must learn from all these things. That's why they are written for us. So Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. Verse 17, and he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot! And he shot. Oh, the king is doing fine up to this moment. Oh, hallelujah. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek. Please underline in your Bible. Till thou have consumed them. That's God's plan. Oh king. You are not just going to defeat them for some time. And then they are going to gather again and come back some other time. You are going to gain total victory over them. That's God's plan. To defeat them totally. That they won't be able to regroup anymore. That's God's plan for us, to have victory, total victory over the enemy. But we need to understand what we are sharing this morning. For that to happen, you have to pray without ceasing. You don't decide when to stop your prayer. God decides for you. That's where this king failed. That's why we have to learn from. Many times we just start praying. We are doing fine up to a moment. And then we look sideways. My prayer seems not to be working. We just stop. And we fall short of the mark that we need to get to in order to gain total victory as God planned for the king. Because Elisha brought him the word of the Lord as he laid his hands upon him, that this is the arrow of deliverance from Syria, and you are going to smite the king of Syria and smite the Syrians until they are totally consumed. But the next step of faith to get the job done, that's where the king failed. Let's read on. Verse 18. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. He didn't tell him how many times to smite. Just like God won't tell you how long you need to pray. See the key? Many of us are timing God. Well, I'm going to pray for 1 week. I'm going to fast and pray for 1 week. And then after fasting 1 week, I'm praying and nothing changes. You just quit. The devil just gets us to quit and we miss it. Did God tell you to just fast for 1 week? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That's what God said. Well, it's good to set time to say I'm fasting, to devote myself to the Lord. But if after 1 week fasting, nothing changes, I'm not going to quit. That's the key. Because I have to keep going until I've gained the total victory, just as God planned for Israel to have over the Syrians. But the king failed. And so Israel failed. Look at it again. Verse 18. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. Ah, he missed it. God didn't say smite 3 times. How come that king acted presumptuously, just like you and I do many times? Presumption is not faith. Presumption is not faith. Presumption is not faith at all. He decided to do it 3 times. God didn't tell him 3 times. So when you set out to pray, don't set time for God. Unless God tells you, I want you to pray for 1 hour and stop. And in most cases, God won't tell you that. God will simply tell you, pray. And keep praying. How long? Just keep doing it until you get the victory. Will it be in a week's time? I don't know. Will it be in a month's time? I don't know. Will it be in a year's time? I don't know. Just keep doing it and forget. I always like to put it this way, throw away your clock. So that you don't even measure time anymore. When you really need to stand before God in prayer to get help that you so desire, forget about your time. Throw it away. And say, well, I set my face to seek the Lord. And I'm going to stand in prayer until I get the answer. That was what Habakkuk himself did in Habakkuk chapter 2. He said, I will stand upon my watch. And we watch to see what God will say unto me. And God eventually answered him, well, write the vision, make it plain, because it is for an appointed time. Wait for it. Hallelujah. Don't be too quick to run ahead of God like this king. He just decided to smite the ground 3 times and he stopped. He didn't even ask the man of God that told him, smite the ground. He didn't say, well, how many times? I mean, you see, he did well up to that time. That's why I'm saying it's easy for every one of us to do well up to a time and then we fail later. We have to learn from these things and make up our mind. I will do well until the end. I'm not going to quit or stop. No. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to obey God to the very end. So he didn't ask the man of God. He should have just kept striking the ground with the thing. Because the man said, eat the ground. Well, I'm going to keep doing it until it tells me stop. Because he's the one that told me to do it. So if it doesn't tell me stop, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it. And then I know when the time comes, he will tell me stop. Enough. But the king just decided to do it 3 times and stopped. Look at verse 19. And the man of God was wroth with him. He was angry. Ah, what have you done? Did I tell you to stop? Why did you stop? You just messed up. You just failed. You missed the plan of God. The plan of God is for you to totally consume them. Now you can't get that done because you have failed. You stopped before the mark. You can't get the victory that way. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then as thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. That's God's plan. It would have taken at least 5 or 6 smiting on the ground for you to get the job done. But you chose to do it thrice. So you can't get it done. You missed it. Oh, hallelujah. We are asked now, thou shalt smite Syria, but thrice. So you can't get total victory. You win the battle 3 times, but they will regroup and you lose. It's time for us to understand that the key is to continue in prayer until the victory comes in manifestation. Because God never fails. He never fails. And so we must not give up. Let's rise to our feet and take your Bible and turn with me to that popular scripture in Philippians chapter 4 this morning. So you are going to set in motion the steps of obedience to get help in any area of your life where you have need of help from God. See, you start and you continue and you don't give up until the very end. That's the key. You have to begin from somewhere. I say, well, you may even want to write down this day to help yourself remember. Well, on this day, I set my face to seek God for help in this area of my life where I need help from God. And I'm going to continue to seek his face and stand upon his word in prayer, knowing that he will not fail to answer me because he hears the prayers of the righteous and he answers the prayers of the righteous in awesome ways. Therefore, I'm going to pray and pray without ceasing until I get the help of God in manifestation in that area of my need in Jesus' name. So that's the purpose. And then you keep doing it. Forget, as I said, forget about the time. 1 week later, you just keep doing it. 1 month later, keep doing exactly the same thing. 1 year later, keep doing exactly the same thing. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't change the tactics. Don't say, well, this tactics is not working. We need to change it. No. You don't need to change it. The word of God works. You just need to wait patiently for it. If you change the tactics from the word of God, what are you changing to? What's going to help you apart from the word of God? Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, let's read together. And each one of us, we just make up our minds to say, well, I'm going to pray. I'm going to give God the opportunity to help me in this area of my need. And I'm going to keep doing so until the help shows up in the physical. Hallelujah. Because I know it's already settled in the spirit. Philippians 4:6. Let's go together. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Hallelujah. In the original Greek, the expression there, let your request be made known unto God, literally means continue to let your request be made known unto God. In other words, it is written in present continuous tense. It is something you must continue to do. And don't stop. Continue to let your request be made known unto God. Oh God, I need wisdom. I don't know what to do in this situation. Well, continue to ask Him for wisdom. You find out what the Word of God says about wisdom. For instance, you go to James chapter 1 verse 5 and you read it and you see clearly that God says if anyone lacks wisdom, they should come and ask Him in prayer and ask Him in faith. So you go to God and say to Him, God, you said when I lack wisdom, I should come to you, and I've obeyed your word and I've come to you. Asking you for wisdom. Give it unto me, oh God. I know you know how to deliver the wisdom to me in a way that I will know that is exactly God giving me the wisdom what to do. I'm not choosing the method for you. I know you know how to do your job perfectly, but I'm trusting in you that I will get the wisdom from you, and I'm not going to quit asking you until I get it. Hallelujah. That's the key. So this morning, whatsoever your need may be, you need wisdom, ask God based on His promise in His word. You need healing, ask God based on His promise. Find out what the Bible says about healing when you are sick. And let the Holy Spirit quicken one of the several scriptures that promises us healing and health in the Bible to you. And then you begin to stand before God in prayer using that day and night until the sickness disappears. Whatsoever your need may be, go ahead and talk to God about it this day. And let today be the day you set it in motion and purpose in yourself that you're not going to stop praying about that particular situation until you receive the help from God in physical manifestation. That's why Bible says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything. You don't have to worry about it. God is there for you. Why worry? You go to God and roll the cares upon Him and keep praying until God's hands makes everything perfect for you. God never fails. So go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that. It just starts with a purposing in the heart. See, we seek God with all our heart as we shared this morning. Just go ahead and say, God, and if you have been worrying about the situation before, the first thing is to repent. And say, Father, I'm sorry for worrying, for even allowing myself to worry about this thing, because you said I shouldn't worry. Instead of worrying, I should be praying. I'm sorry, oh God, for missing it. Forgive me for worrying. Now I make up my mind, I'm not going to worry anymore. Instead of worrying, I'm going to pray and keep praying and pray without ceasing until I receive the answer from you in Jesus' name. That's how to do it. So anytime we read the Bible and we find out what the Word of God says, and we look at ourselves in the light of the Word and we realize we've not been doing it the way God says we should be doing it, the first thing is to repent. You say, Father, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry for missing the way. Now I make a U-turn. Forgive me for going the wrong way. Now I'm ready to go the right way. Help me, Lord, and help me till the very end in Jesus' name. And the grace of God will show up for you. Hallelujah. So go ahead and pray. Pray. Talk to God. Talk to God. God can hear your voice. James chapter 5 verse 13 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. See, there are times when you need people to pray along with you, but you have to do the praying yourself first. Because how can somebody agree with you in prayer when you yourself are not even praying to start with? There's no agreement. So you have to be praying first before God will raise up people to agree with you in prayer. Sometimes God will just raise up a Christian that doesn't know you. And while they are praying, they don't know you, but God will be using them to pray for you. Hallelujah. Because you have done your part faithfully. So go ahead. Roll the cares upon the Lord. Say to yourself, I'm not going to worry about this situation anymore. From this day forward, I will not worry. I will pray. Every time I remember the situation, I will just pray. I won't worry about it. I'll just roll the cares upon the Lord in prayer. And I'll keep doing that until the victory comes. Because God said I should pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. So let's say this together. Dear Heavenly Father, I stand before you today as your child, choosing to obey your voice. As it is written, that I must not worry about anything, but in everything, I must continue to pray, making my request known unto you in the place of prayer with faith based on your promises in the name of Jesus. I'm sorry for those times when I have worried about this situation. Forgive me, O God, for those times of disobedience. But from this day forward, I choose to walk in obedience. I will not worry. Every time I remember the need, I will pray. And I will thank you while I'm praying because of your faithfulness. Holy Spirit, you are my helper. I ask you to strengthen me. Give me the grace to pray without ceasing. To continue in prayer until I gain the victory in this situation, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for helping me, Lord. To you be all the glory in my life and in all my circumstances, now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now lift your other hand and thank him. Go ahead and thank the Lord. Just continue to pray and thank God. Don't worry, because the prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his walking. The battle is the Lord's, and the victory is yours. God will not fail you, because he never fails those who obey his word. God bless you all, and stay strong in the grace of God, and in the power of his might, now and always. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.